Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing the high cost of paying for convenience.
We live in a world where we are saturated with convenience, and with that convenience comes fees and costs associated with that, you know?
You sound like a movie trailer for a second. In a world.
In a world.
Where convenience costs reign.
But it's true. More and more, these are costs that we are incurring. And the problem is that we are incurring them without actually even realizing them sometimes. I don't want to dive too much into it, but that's what we're going to talk about today, man. We're going to discuss, you know, the reasons that we do pay for convenience, but then also how we can combat those fees, how we can reduce the amount of money that we are spending towards convenience, man. But first, let's mention this resource. We actually had a listener wrote in and let us know about the site called furnishedfinder.com. And we wanted to share it because this could be a really great resource for some folks out there. It could be helpful for those who, you know, might have a space that they've been renting out on Airbnb, but also for the people looking for these furnished spaces, nurses.
Yeah, Matt, we got that email from a listener and we took a look at the site. It seems like this great in between when you're considering Airbnb or renting something out full time. And Matt, you found out pretty quickly renting something out on Airbnb that it's you're more in the hospitality industry at that point. It's less real estate and it's more hotel management.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, it just depends on how you want to do it. I think there are a lot of folks who might be approaching it more like just a traditional real estate sort of model, right? Where they have check-in codes and they've got the rules laid out and it's all pretty automated. Maybe they even have management and other folks who come in. But the way we were doing it, and considering that we were doing it on our private residence, you know, on our own property, we were wanting it to be done in a certain elevated sort of way. You know, we didn't want just any old person, you know, looking to slum it through Atlanta to be able to stay there. We wanted someone who was looking for something extra special. But, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort and energy when it comes to wanting to do it at that level. But I agree with you. This is a nice kind of in between. You know, we were moving in the direction of getting away from Airbnb guests to kind of eliminate some of that work. We were looking for something a little more long term, but at the same time, not like a traditional lease, right? We weren't looking for someone to sign up for a year down here in the basement, which, by the way, we're not doing at all anymore because you and I, we took it over for the podcast. So we've got soundproofing panels up on the wall. We record down here. This is where we do our work. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet podcasting studio. But I love the kind of in-between idea of renting. And you can do that through a site like furnishedfinder.com, or you could try to do it kind of on your own by listing it on Craigslist or Zillow or however you choose to list a rental property. But yeah, I think like Airbnb does work for a lot of people, but for other people who are like, man, it's just too much work and I'm tired of cleaning the space like every other day. Something like this, thinking slightly longer term, can maybe make you more money than it would on a traditional year-long lease, because you can charge typically more per month when you're doing a shorter term, and at the same time, not cause you nearly as much of the hassle and headaches and the cleanup time, right? That listing something on Airbnb would.
Yeah, and speaking of Airbnb, man, this is something that you and Emily, y'all have been talking about recently, right? So y'all's house was set up sort of like a duplex. You were renting out the back part of your house there for a while. And so now that you've taken that over with a growing family, you know, you had a sort of wild idea to maybe build an ADU, which is an accessory dwelling unit there in your backyard.
Yeah, basically like a tiny house in the backyard.
Exactly. And they're super cute, by the way. The company I know that you were looking at, they've got some really sweet looking models. And like, that's exactly how it works. Like, you choose which model, like which house you want built, and they just come and build it.
You got to pay them to do it.
But. Oh, yeah. They don't do it for free. But but yeah, you want to give folks an update on that?
Sure. Yeah. So little bummer. It's not happening anymore. And yeah, it's just one of those things where when you're talking about construction and building something on your property, oftentimes cities have, you know, pretty specific rules about where you can build, how you can build. And, you know, in our city, in Atlanta in 2017, they changed the rules and you're allowed to now build an ADU, whereas it took a lot more effort in order to do that before then. But at the same time, we had a kind of specific location on our lot that we wanted to build it, and it just wasn't possible, you know, where we were hoping to build it. And if we built it elsewhere on the lot, it's just going to look pretty crazy, and we didn't want to like essentially ruin the flow of our backyard,
right? Yeah.
And because the specific location on our property isn't going to work out, then, you know, I just don't think it's going to work out in general for us, which is a bummer. It seemed like a lot of fun. You know, I love real estate, and it was kind of a way to try something new and hopefully make a little income on the side from it as well. But
not only real estate, but meeting new people, right? Like, yeah. That's seriously one of the things that I enjoyed the most about Airbnb. Like, I loved it, but I also hated it. Like, I loved being able to talk to folks, hear where they're from, why they're in town.
But then you want to clean it up after their mess.
Yeah. And so, it wasn't even about the mess, because even that, I actually enjoyed that time to kind of decompress, you know, like put a podcast on or some music and then perform some of those monotonous cleaning tasks. You know, I guess when you have a lot of kids and a lot of stuff on your mind, it's good sometimes to be able to do some things where you don't have to actively think about things. But again, it wasn't even necessarily the cleaning. It was the fact that just even meeting them would take so much time. Again, I enjoyed that aspect of it, but then we would end up talking too long, and I look down at, you know, what time it is, and it's been an hour and I got to get back to work. And so for us, it was the massive time suck, man. It was just the amount of time that was being lost to that endeavor.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, those medium-term rentals can actually hit that perfect spot where you meet somebody, you actually get to know them over a couple months while they live in your spot, and then they move on, you move on to somebody else. You're not, yeah. You know, the whole time commitment is just a whole lot less. Just wanted to mention that website to other people. Also, give that update on where I'm at with the ADU. It's not happening right now, and I'm a little bummed. Sadly, no ADU for our family. It was super cute, and I love real estate, man, in all its forms and fashions, and building kind of like a tiny house in my backyard. It sounded exciting, but it's just not in the cards for right now.
Not going to happen this time.
Yeah, but you know what is in the cards, Matt? Drinking a good beer on this episode.
Another good beer, man. This episode, you and I were sharing a Chimay Grand Reserve, and this is the blue bottle, by the way. So there's a couple different Chimays, or a few different Chimays out there, right?
Yeah, I think there's maybe three main Chimays.
And I'm pretty sure I've had this before, but I'm not 100% sure, and so I'm excited for you and I to enjoy this one, man. I know that you and I have never had this beer before together, so.
Yeah, it's a true classic beer, Belgian beer, and I look forward to having this one on the show, and we'll give our thoughts on it at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But Matt, let's get on to the subject at hand. We're talking about the high cost of paying for convenience. And I feel like when I think of the word convenience, I think of convenience stores, right? pretty ubiquitous.
A bodega.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And obviously convenience stores are named because it's pretty simple to get in and out of there with what you want, with what you need pretty quickly.
I'm going to start calling Aldi a convenience store because it's also very easy to get in and out really quickly.
True, but it doesn't fall prey to the high prices and kind of the other tricks of the traditional convenience store.
That's why I love them so much, man.
Yeah. So it is, of course, quicker to grab a candy bar or a gallon of milk at your conveniently located convenience store on the way home, instead of popping into a giant grocery store or a big box store. Maybe that's a couple of miles away. But there's a cost to that convenience, right? You're going to pay maybe twice as much for that gallon of milk just because it's easier to get it there, right? And so that's really what we want to talk about today, right? There are times when it does make sense for us in our lives to pay more for easy accessibility to something. But we will talk about how to think through the paying for convenience dilemma so we don't just take the easy, more expensive way every time we're faced with a decision. I think right now in our culture, it's probably easier than ever to find something that's more convenient than the way you're used to getting it. But oftentimes you're going to pay a whole lot more for that ability.
And we're not necessarily just talking about convenience stores. We're talking about just all aspects of our lives where convenience is factored into the cost, right? You know, for example, some, like their summer beach home rentals, to be conveniently located a block or two from the beach. But those definitely cost more than homes for rent a mile inland. Or maybe another example, let's say you find it more convenient to grab coffee at a Starbucks or your local coffee shop instead of brewing your own coffee at home. And first, let it be said that, you know, we're definitely not judging your vacation choices or, you know, or buying nice coffee. But if you are doing it every single day purely on the basis of convenience, you know, it's time to rethink your game plan. The big problem here is that American consumers are spending more money than ever on different services and conveniences without giving it much thought. We're being parted with our money without even realizing it. And that's the big crime here.
Yeah, I agree, man. I feel like, you know, one of the perfect examples of that is like laundry detergent in pod form. And it's one of those things where, first off, you shouldn't eat them, right? Like some people were doing that. That was a terrible idea. But second off, like how much convenience does that actually add to your life? I feel like that's a selling point sometimes behind something that looks convenient or is supposed to be more convenient. But in the end, like how much more convenient is it really? but that is often a selling point, right?
It just all depends though. You know, it all depends on what you value.
Yeah. And now you can even get scotch in pod form.
Now that's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
I saw that. You can get like cocktails and like scotch samples. And like, I mean, they literally do look like closed detergent pods. You know, they're like clear and squishy.
Yeah. It's
It's like gushers for adults. It's just a bad idea.
Right, right. So yeah, we're all forced to basically make these trade-offs. So it's really just worth digging a little deeper. Right, I feel like some of the modern convenience offerings have kind of like jumped the shark, right? Like the Scotch pod. And one recent article I saw discussed the ultimate in modern convenience, Matt, which is like food delivery apps. And it turns out that picking up that order of Chinese or Thai food yourself can end up costing you up to 91% less than having Uber Eats, Grubhub, or Postmates deliver it to your door. And COVID has certainly made the value proposition a little different for these apps for getting food delivery because, you know, we're avoiding going inside a restaurant. We're trying to stay safe. But it's important to think about how big of a cost difference that really is, right, to get it delivered as opposed to picking it up. And many of us tend to choose the most convenient option in spite of the price or worse without even knowing how much more we're paying. Like sometimes we're doing it blindly, and I think that's like the worst possible way to be doing it.
So our goal for this episode is to shine a light on the different reasons, you know, that we often go with the more convenient options. And then not only, you know, are we going to highlight these different reasons, but we're going to also suggest some simple solutions. By recognizing our natural tendencies, hopefully we can resist these urges, which will also allow us to save money. And at the same time, hopefully we can realize a host of other benefits as well from avoiding some of these conveniences in our lives. So that's going to be our discussion for this episode, man. Let's dive a little bit more into that right after this break.
All right, Matt, we're back from the break. We're talking about paying for convenience and how it adds a whole lot of cost into our lives. And we highlighted just a few examples a second ago. But now let's kind of identify maybe some of the reasons that we end up going with more convenient and costlier options in our lives. And I think, you know, we'll have some examples in there as well that can kind of help flesh it out. But I think sometimes seeing what leads to the problem can be really effective in helping us solve it. And I think one of the biggest reasons we end up going with the most convenient option so much of the time is that we just haven't given it much thought. Of all the different reasons to pay more for convenience, I think this is probably like the most innocent excuse. It's kind of hard to curb convenience spending when you don't even really realize that you're doing it in the first place, right? So to everyone listening to this episode, unfortunately, no longer can you claim this reason.
Because we just told you.
Exactly. It exists and you're probably doing it without even thinking about it, right? We want to really encourage the practice of thinking through all the different areas in your life where you spend and then asking yourself if you're paying a premium just for convenience. And man, I feel like one of the places that this bears out most frequently for us as consumers oftentimes is like online shopping.
Yeah, online shopping obviously has created major benefits for us, but it has also made it far easier to pay for convenience. It should raise a bright red flag when paying this premium weaves its way into our lives, you know, and we just accept it without question or without any hesitation. This is when it can become virtually invisible, you know, when we assume these expenses are fixed and that they are just a part of our way of life without us even questioning them. That's when I think it truly is a problem. And a lot of times that's because we haven't, like you said, we haven't given it any amount of thought at all. And we just assume and take these expenses as just part of our daily living.
Yeah, Matt, online shopping, you're totally right. That's one of those ways in which it's created benefits, but then it's also instilled this assumption that everything should be convenient. And I think it's caused us actually over the years to pay for more convenience. And I think Amazon Prime is probably an even more specific example of that. Amazon's kind of gotten its customers addicted to essentially convenience. It's just so easy to buy from them. And so we often forsake comparison shopping on other websites. And most of us probably haven't realized, but Amazon's done a really good job over the years at becoming less and less price competitive, just assuming that you're going to make the purchase on their website without checking elsewhere. And so you're going to spend more and Amazon's profitability is going to rise at the same time. And so much of the time, we don't even think to give these convenience purchases a second thought because of how integrated something like maybe a website like Amazon has become in our lives. I think it's good to recognize and to think about the fact that we might need to break that chain. It's not like you can never shop on Amazon again, but it's at least helpful to recognize maybe an unhealthy relationship that you have with a website like that and to give more thought before you do click to purchase in the future.
Yeah, and even, you know, when we do realize that we might be spending more than we should on convenience technology, apps, you know, maybe a Prime membership, it all makes it so incredibly easy to keep up those unhealthy habits. You know, that's another easy to identify reason that leads to more purchasing. And when it comes back to Amazon, I think we should be wary, you know, when the world's richest man runs an online business that allows us to conveniently purchase whatever we want with a single click. Technology has just greased the wheels when it comes to consumer spending, and we're the ones footing the bill.
Yeah, I don't know if Amazon still has the little click to buy things. You know, what are those called?
I forget. But you like stash it next to your dishwasher. So when you ran out of like dishwashing detergent, you just push this button and it automatically purchases it for you.
Yes.
Never mind how much it costs.
it's like the ultimate in just...
It's like our worst nightmare. I'm like, why would you ever do that? No way.
Right. It's the ultimate inconvenience is having some sort of pushable button that then orders a thing for you. And again, regardless of price, right?
Which so crazy.
Is obvious. That's why we called this episode the high cost of paying for convenience, because there is a massive cost the easier it gets. And so I think, you know, one important thing for us all to remember is that actually increasing the level of friction in our purchases is helpful to our bottom line. We're talking about how the internet has made snagging stuff that you need so much easier. One click to purchase, ordering from Alexa, I mean, all these easy ways to order something. But as a culture, I think we've taken that ease and we've essentially created like a chronic problem. And I think, you know, you can still order from your favorite retailers, but it's important to try to make it harder for yourself to do so. Force yourself to comparison shop on at least two other sites before making a final purchase. You might actually get a better price, and creating a more complex strategy actually helps you to avoid impulse buys and buying things purely for the sake of convenience that sometimes you might receive the shipment 2 days later and you're like, oh, I ordered that? I don't really remember ordering that. That's kind of a more common thing that's happening to people too, as we end up valuing convenience mostly at the expense of our money.
Right. And taking that to another level too, we would recommend for folks to maybe establish a purchasing rule, something like a 48-hour rule, right? A huge percentage of the time, if you wait that long, you'll never go back to that decision that you would have, you know, purchased without that rule. This will prevent some of those spur-of-the-moment purchases and give you a better framework for future buying decisions. Maybe for you, that might even mean removing the Amazon app from your phone, because when that app's there, man, it's so easy just to click it, search it, add it to your cart, or not even add it to your cart. You're buying it right there on the spot. And so maybe instead what that means is you utilizing different apps on your phone, like, you know, the note-taking app on your phone or reminders, something where when you think of something, you're able to quickly write that down so that you don't forget it. You're replacing that bad habit with maybe one that's a little bit healthier, one that would allow you some more time to comparison shop, like you just mentioned, Joel. Or again, maybe just letting it sit on that list. And then you realize a couple of days later that you don't even want to look at it on the list anymore, let alone actually having that item in your house. You might realize how silly of a purchase that would have been.
Yeah, I like that, because there's still like an action that you're taking, right? You're putting it on a list somewhere, trying to keep it in your brain for the future, and like, oh yeah, I'll try to remember to buy that tomorrow or the next day. But having it on a list somewhere that you then go back to and you say, oh yeah, no, I can cross this off. I don't really need that. That was kind of a impulse, spur of the moment sort of thing. Or realizing 2 days later, no, that's something I still need and want, and now I'm going to make the purchase. I think it's really helpful. So Matt, we just mentioned that one of the biggest reasons that we pay too much for convenience is because we haven't given it any thought. And so hopefully we'll all be a little more thoughtful about those convenience purchases. But another reason I think that we tend to pay for convenience is out of laziness. And I know this has been the case for me at different times, right? And I think this is what happens when we know what we should be doing, but basically instead we passively allow ourselves to take the easy way out. Instead, we really need to resist whatever the easy path might be and embrace something a little more difficult, right? It is kind of that increased friction, or it is that 48-hour rule. Anything that we can do to prevent ourselves from falling into laziness and making the easy choice because it's what's easiest is going to go a long way in helping us not overconsume and buy things that we don't really need.
Yeah, and there are other lessons as well when it comes to embracing what's difficult and what's hard instead of always taking the easy path. But, you know, when it comes to being lazy, I think food is probably one of the number one areas where a lot of us are susceptible to paying for convenience, you know? Whether it's the previously mentioned delivery apps and getting groceries delivered, or even apps like Grubhub, you know, where meals just show up at your door, or even going out for dinner or drinks when we don't necessarily have the money in our budget. It's easy to spend too much on food when in reality, like, we are just being lazy. I think this is definitely an example where paying for convenience can really cost us, when instead what we should be doing is the hard work of going to the grocery store, you know, walking in there ourselves, figuring out what it is that we're going to cook, coming up with a meal plan maybe, and then actually cooking that food. Think about all the money that you're going to save, and not to mention it'll probably be a little healthier too.
Yeah, and I think there's such a big difference here between actively paying for convenience and passively paying for convenience. I know we've felt that in our lives as a family, that we don't mind paying for takeout, when it's a conscious choice that we're making, and it's something that's kind of like a special thing to do one night of the week for, as a family. But when we last minute do it because we weren't prepared, it's way more of a bummer. It doesn't feel as special, and I kind of hate
it. It just feels stressful,
yeah,
right? Because you're like, we're short on time, and we're spending extra money to do something we don't really want to do.
Right, and when we spend that money, I hate it. Yeah. But when we spend the money for the thing that we planned ahead for and we're excited about, it feels meaningful, right? And so, yeah, active versus passive on this convenience front is an important thing. When we're passive, we're really getting sucked into the modern economy, and we're not really advocating for ourselves or our hard-earned dollars. This is truly the convenience that it's important to avoid at all costs. But I think when we actively choose to pay for convenience in certain areas of our lives that are well thought through, I think it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, on the surface, it might look the same to a lot of people, right? But the underlying intentions and the mindset behind it is what makes that difference so noticeable. And so, yeah, before we get any hate mail, you know, like, we're not against paying for more things. We're not against paying for convenience, but we do feel that the only good reason is if it's something that you truly value, right? Whether or not, you know, we value something, like, that comes down to our, you know, your own intentions, and whether we intentionally or unintentionally pay for convenience makes all the difference in the world. So for example, you know, we often might argue that what we're paying for is our time. You know, when we go with the convenient option, it means that we don't want to spend the time associated with whatever the alternative might be. And that's totally fine. We're not knocking that decision at all, as long as we are aware that we are paying a premium for it and that these conveniences aren't just becoming these impulse decisions. We don't want them to be reactive moves. We want them to be proactive moves that we've all thought about, right? We don't want to be reactionary here. We want to be, you know, in charge and directing our own lives.
Yeah, man, I feel like even sometimes it's easy to get dragged into paying for convenience just because it feels like a new societal norm, like the way everybody does it.
Right.
And like, I think Amazon Prime is totally one of those examples, you know, ordering takeout and having it delivered as opposed to going to pick it up and spending that extra 5 or 10 minutes that you normally would have, and then the much higher costs associated with that. But everyone's doing it, so why not? And I think it's just really helpful if we're a little more thoughtful before we choose to do something that everybody else is doing. And so, yeah, we've covered some of the reasons that we end up paying for convenience and how big of a cost it can actually be in our lives, and then a little bit about how to lower those costs. But let's go further, Matt, and let's talk some about the methods that can lessen our dependence on convenience, and maybe even how gamification can help us in this area too. We'll get to some of that stuff right after this break.
All right, Joel, we're back from the break talking about the high cost of paying for convenience, man. Do you feel like this is going to be too tough of a message for some of our listeners to swallow? Because I will be honest, us just talking about this, like we do this in part because we need to hear this ourselves. You know, a lot of what we talk about, it's our own medicine that we're serving up. And part of us talking about it is us taking our own medicine. And so we need to hear this as much as I think our listeners need to hear it. But at the same time, I think this might ruffle some feathers.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think convenience is one of those things where it's like, I'm so busy, I'm up to my eyeballs, how can I not pay for the most convenient option?
Yeah.
And I understand that. And I mean, I'm kind of partial to the Costco rotisserie chicken or something like that on the occasional weeknight or whatever it is.
Yeah, we're not, you know, trying to get rid of convenience altogether. We're just trying to get folks to think about it a little bit more and be intentional about it.
You don't have to rip out your dishwasher, because those are incredibly convenient. Yeah, but so much of it does come down to, like we said earlier, what adds value into your life. And intentionally seeking the conveniences that matter, that are actually going to move the needle, is really important. Because who wants to be some sort of zombie consumer going with the easiest option at every turn? I think that's a recipe for unhappiness, but it is important to come up with a recipe essentially that will work for you in how you do pick and choose which conveniences you are going to pay for and that do actually matter in your life.
Yeah, you know, that's why I think sometimes it can be hard for us to even give examples, because anything that we talk about as like a bad move financially, for somebody else, it could be the best move for them, you know, because they've thought about it. For them, it's they can give you all the reasons why it's worth it for them to spend money on that specific thing. And it also makes me think of, you know, we've talked before about the why behind our money, you know, and we talked about finding 3 or 4 different things that you truly love, which you are happy to spend money on. And so we would suggest for folks, for us as well, to do something similar with the conveniences that we allow in our life. You know, consciously allow yourself some conveniences that move the needle the most. But you have to identify a few of those, because you can't have them all. You know, you can't splurge on every single thing out there, otherwise you're going to end up broke. And we also think it's important too to kind of revisit what, you know, you've said that those things are. Joel, I know in the past you've mentioned how your one of yours is travel. That's obviously not something that you're splurging a bunch on right now.
Right.
But even when it comes to like our conveniences, there are things that probably used to dramatically increase our standard of living, right? But maybe recently things have changed. And if you were to actually sit down and think, oh, wow, I'm spending how much for this? When in reality, things have changed, and that's something I can easily do on my own now. In fact, I could see a bunch of reasons why it would be better for me to do this instead of paying for the service involved or paying for the convenience associated with it. It's good to revisit these things and to challenge ourselves by asking whether or not these things are actually as beneficial as they used to be, and if the cost warrants that service.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when we drop a convenience out of our life, it can actually feel good. Like it's a surprising thing because convenience, it feels like in the culture, is always preached as something that is consistently good for us. Like the more convenient things are, the better our lives are going to be. But that's not always the case either, right?
Sounds like a marketing message.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's
don't you want your life to be easier?
Right. I mean, kind of. But I do realize that the more that I make things less convenient, and I think that's like one of the things about getting fit, right? It's not necessarily easy, but there's a reward in the end. And I think sometimes when we drop the conveniences that cost us money, there's a reward in the end in it for us too. It can be convenient for me to have someone else mow my lawn or to grab money out of the nearest ATM, which is going to cost me $5 or $6 in fees. But battling against our desire, I think, for that easiest solution, doing a little bit of extra legwork in order to save that money can feel really good. It kind of reminds me, Matt, of the episode we did about gamification. We can kind of turn it into more of a game and one that saves us money and builds some resiliency to some financial resolve to avoid the easy thing in favor of the money-saving choice instead. And we don't always have to choose that, but I think when we do and when we make the attempt to forsake the convenient in favor of the slightly more difficult route, I think we're going to see some added benefits.
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of gamifying it, right? Using gamification as a tactic to curb spending is a great way to go. So instead of letting, you know, whatever is easiest win out, let's create a competition out of this with rewards maybe in the end to, you know, so that we can do well. Consider maybe even keeping a log of, you know, the different times you don't spend for convenience. You know, maybe when you avoid an ATM fee, or maybe you opt to pick up dinner instead of choosing the easier yet more expensive delivery. And then every month, add up the money that you would have spent on convenience and then use that money saved as a reward towards one of your bigger goals, one of the things that truly does move the needle for you. Maybe that's, you know, padding, you know, your vacation savings account for that sweet trip you're hoping to take next fall. Not anytime soon, probably. But this will help with motivation. You know, it's about finding ways to prove and to demonstrate to yourself and maybe even to your family, maybe to a partner, that it's not all about deprivation. We're not just trying to make life harder. We're trying to find ways to optimize our lives and find ways to, you know, put our money towards the things that we care the most about.
Yeah, Matt, let's get a little nerdy here. There's this psychological concept called disfluency. And it basically says that the harder we have to work to understand something, the more it will stick in our brains. And that's why sometimes that YouTube video doesn't have the same impact on you as actually reading a physical book at night, because there's more of a hurdle to overcome to read the words on a page than to watch a 10-minute video and hope that you've got the concept down pat. And that's even why writing things down and then, you know, maybe trying to teach what you've learned can greatly improve your retention.
Yeah, again, let's get a little meta here. Maybe this is why we even have this podcast, because we're trying to prove to ourselves to avoid some of these conveniences and to save more and invest more of our money, right?
Yeah, every time we do an episode together, it hammers home kind of the exactly how I should be living, because, you know, we come together and we discuss some topics, and then I'm like, man, yeah, I'm doing some of these things. Some of these things I need to do better at, and it's a reminder for me.
Yeah, some of these are like stretch goals for us.
Right, yeah, exactly. And yeah, so I think the more we forsake convenience, or at least the more we are consciously aware when we're trading our hard-earned money for the sake of ease, the harder it's going to be for us to continue to blindly take the easy road. And just remember that concept of disfluency, that sometimes when we work harder, the more meaningful I think the results of that money saving actually is by taking the extra effort to not take the easiest route, taking a path that's slightly more difficult. The money you're able to rack up in the log you're keeping at the end of every month is actually going to feel way more important probably than it actually even is to your bottom line.
Nice, man. I'm glad we have a nice nerdy term for this episode. And something else too, it's also important to point out that there are other non-monetary benefits that we miss out on when we pay for convenience. You know, like for example, when we hop in the car for a short errand instead of biking or walking, we miss out on the benefits gained through a dose of fresh air and, you know, conversations with neighbors that you wouldn't have if you were driving. Or maybe when we pay for grocery delivery instead of going ourselves in person, we lose that opportunity to catch up with the cashier that you used to always see, you know, when you had a chance to build some community. When we pay for someone to clean our house or, you know, or to take care of our yards for us, we miss out on the physical benefits of putting our bodies to work and learning how to maintain and to care for things. And granted, our podcast is called How to Money, right? Like, we talk about the personal finances of basically everything. But it's not always about the money. There are these other benefits that don't pertain to money. And also, you know, it's not just about these immediate lessons or these immediate benefits, I think, that we gain by doing one thing over the other. But there's something, too, to be said about these sort of bigger lessons that surround working hard and appreciating something. You know, like, I think it's easy to not appreciate things when everything comes to us really easily. But when we understand, you know, all the work that goes into producing something or maintaining something, I think it goes a long way in building who we are as people. And, you know, we like to be well-rounded individuals here. We're not just about, you know, saving money at whatever expense, because that would be considered cheap. We try to be frugal, but while at the same time being kind of well-rounded people. And by avoiding some of these conveniences that cost us a lot of money, I think that would go a long ways in creating that in us.
Sometimes even the more we opt for convenience over maybe the harder alternative, it feels like the more entitled we become. And I think the more entitled we become, the less appreciative we can be of the things that are around us, right?
Absolutely.
That we get to enjoy on a regular basis. And so I think another part of the antidote to paying for convenience is to step back and actually really have some appreciation for the conveniences that you currently have, and in particular, the ones that are free, that actually truly continue to make life better. We talked about dishwashers a second ago. Man, just stepping back to think about how great it is to have a dishwasher in your house.
They're pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet. And then the first house that I owned didn't have a dishwasher in it. I remember those nights doing dishes with my wife. And, you know, it wasn't all that bad, but it's nicer to have a dishwasher. I'll tell you that. And so, yeah, giving thanks for things like a dishwasher, automatic bill pay, automatic investing withdrawals, apps that help us monitor our financial progress that are free. There are all these modern conveniences that are pretty magnificent in a lot of ways. I mean, Matt, even money itself was created for convenience so that we didn't have to barter and trade like a chicken for 6 beers or something like that.
Would you take the chicken over 6 beers or vice versa?
No, of course I'm taking the beer, right?
Beer is essential.
Right. Yeah, it's so much better than bartering, having money that makes, you know, everything more convenient. And the more that we can, I think, appreciate these modern conveniences, many of which are free, don't cost us a penny. I think that the more likely we are to balk at paying for the hyper-convenient things that the world around us is pushing that are going to cost us a lot of money, that are going to make our lives maybe feel a little more convenient. But in the end, they might make us feel a little more entitled and a little less grateful of the conveniences that we have all around us that currently exist that are incredible, but it's hard to recognize them for what they are when our lives are basically sold out to convenience.
Yeah, and Joel, those different attitudes you mentioned are some of the different effects that convenience can have on us as individuals, but don't forget about all the different external effects as well. I'm thinking about just the increased amount of waste that comes with overconsumption. I'm thinking about the effect that it has on us physically by paying for things to be done for us to where we don't have to like get up and go do something instead of, you know, just sitting there and just mashing a button on our phones. There's a host of external but also kind of internal emotional effects that convenience has on our lives, man.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be making us a little unhealthier physically, mentally.
Yes.
I mean, convenience, I think, in small amounts has a lot of benefit. Convenience in overabundance actually has a lot of detriments.
Yeah. I mean, taking it back to money, you know, like the time saved in pursuing convenience often costs us on the flip side, right? And the time that we need to spend working in order to make money to afford those conveniences. It's kind of like this chicken or the egg thing. And we would, in all likelihood, save more money and learn some important life lessons if we just allowed just a little bit more inconvenience into our lives.
Matt, I feel like some Old Testament prophet preaching the gospel of inconvenience. And I'm interested to hear how people are going to respond, because it certainly isn't kind of the trajectory that we're headed in the United States in 2020. It's all about convenience, man. And
it's not what we naturally want to do, nor is it what's being fed to us. It's not what's being marketed to us, and it's not what technology is leading us in the direction of.
Yeah, so we're going to need to make some important decisions in our own lives if we're going to try to avoid just convenience at any cost, and any cost monetarily, but than all these other costs we're talking about, too.
Absolutely.
We're
going
to have to be a little more intentional. All right, Matt, let's get back to the beer that we had on the show. This beer is called Chimay Grand Reserve. A lot of people call it Chimay Blue. That's what I call it, at least.
It's got the blue label.
Got the blue label. This is an ale from a Trappist brewery in Belgium. Matt, what are your thoughts on this beer, man?
Yeah, first let's mention what it means to be an official, legit Trappist beer. And what that means is that this beer has to be brewed within the walls of a Trappist monastery. And literally, this beer is made by monks. And so maybe us drinking this beer kind of got us fired up about like pushing against culture and fighting consumption and all the things that accompanied it.
Yeah, but, I'm going to lock myself away, put a robe on, and just start brewing beer.
We're going to just like go commune with nature and with God out in the woods.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there are very few breweries in the world that can actually call themselves Trappist breweries. And this is one of them. This is one of the kind of OG originals. They're a classic. But man, this was a really tasty one. This is unlike a lot of the beers that we typically have. It's good for us to kind of step outside what we normally like to drink. But this one was dark and caramelly. Kind of had like different flavors going on of like, I imagine if there's a bunch of fruit that was then candied that have also been sitting there aging in molasses. You know, it's like all the different fruits, but then just everything turned dark and made sweet. But it made for a really just delicious, well-balanced beer that also doesn't taste too heavy, you know, here at the end of summer. A lot of times darker beers we tend to reserve for the winter. But this one, I don't know, I guess because it's a Belgian style beer, it still feels really kind of fizzy and fruity while also having some of those darker notes. But really enjoyed it, man. I'm glad you and I got to share this one. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I've had this beer a handful of times throughout the years, and every time I have it, I'm always just super impressed. It's just this, it's really like a classic beer at this point that anybody listening can find, I'm sure, on, you know, I'm not sure if you can find it at your supermarket, but you can probably find it.
A lot of times you can, though.
Yeah.
It's on the shelves there if you've got a decent beer selection.
And it's totally worth picking up because it is like complex and unique. It's malty with like kind of some bready notes to it, I feel like.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, like those dark fig kind of notes going on too. It has like some Belgian quad kind of spice notes going on a little bit too. Not
a little bit of banana maybe.
Yeah. And so, man, I like a good Belgian beer, and this one is one of the classics, I would say. And I love too kind of what Trappist monasteries are all about. They make a good, whether it's beer or cheese or something else, and then they sell it, and that's how they fund all their good deeds, all their good works, and how they keep the monastery going. So, man, I love that. Many of the Trappist monasteries have developed a reputation for making just impeccable beers with high quality ingredients that taste superb, and this is like definitely one of the best ones out there.
Yeah, don't think by buying this beer that that's a charitable donation because you are in fact receiving goods or services with the money that you gave for this beer, but it's good to know that it's going towards good causes where they brew this beer. And real quick, one last recommendation as well. I mentioned bananas a second ago. If you liked a good spiced like banana nut bread, totally pick this beer up because it has those flavors going on for sure. Like Joel, you maybe think of it when you kind of mentioned like the breadiness there.
Yeah.
And I 100% agree. It makes it feel like you're kind of biting into just a nice banana nut bread. It's so good.
Like a fresh loaf at home for sure.
Yes. Yeah. The best kind there is when it's hot and fresh like that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Matt. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. If you haven't been to our website, go check out howtomoney.com. We have articles and previous episodes up there for you to check out. And we'll also have show notes for this episode.
And if you found this episode enlightening and you haven't yet left us a review over at Apple Podcasts, we would be incredibly thankful if you did. Joel, that's going to be it, buddy, for this episode. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.